they're pretty weak, but I heard a KM4 in there. The Zen Zero TR, my name is Tom.
Kilo Oscar 4, Golf Papa Alpha, on HD with a Mac Mount SM.
It almost guessed that. Well, you're making the repeater. You got quite a bit of white noise in there, kind of a weak signal, but I could understand you okay. Beautiful day out here right now, and the humidity's down, and couldn't ask for more.
It's a real nice day. I've been kind of lazy, haven't done much of anything.
We mowed grass, and the wife weed-eated, and she made lasagna for dinner, and a nice cucumber and tomato salad, and another, what do you call that other one?
Fruit
salad. And homemade breadsticks, and now we're taking the leftovers to the daughter and son-in-law and grandsons over to their lake house, and they've been out walking trails today up around Landrum, and had a good time, and that'll keep them from having to make dinner tonight. My name's Tom. I didn't catch yours.
Jimmy, down here in Piedmont, South Carolina.
Fine business, Jimmy. Well, this has been a good day to rest, especially if you do that four-letter word thing, W-O-R-K.
It's been a long week this week.
I'm 72 and retired, and so we have a little bit of flexibility on our schedules, Jimmy. And what do you do for a living?
Sea operator.
After I got out of the Navy, I worked 32 years in a machine shop where we had machine tools that would swing up to a maximum of 27 feet in diameter.
Like some of the stuff I had when I was out of GE. We had some pretty big stuff out there.
My daughter's an engineer. Our daughter's an engineer out there, and I've been through that plant, and yeah, that's a big place. We had 300,000 square feet, and I thought that was big. But when I went into GE, I found out that wasn't the case. They really make some monstrous stuff. I think our biggest crane was 50 tons. Now, I don't think they need any bigger capacity than that out there for lifting, but they had a lot of cranes in that place.
I think the biggest thing they had there, they have one generator or a turbine they have to lift out there. They have to use their largest crane, which I think is 200 tons, and then bring another crane in from the outside to pick it up from the other end and set it on the carrier to take it outside.
Yeah, that's a biggie fry. The biggest one I ever worked on was a very, very old one over at the Kansas City Southern Railroad. They asked me to come over and help them out one time, and it was 250 tons for lifting the old steam engine locomotives and diesel locomotives when they replaced the engines on them. And I remember well going to school up in Erie, Pennsylvania at one of your GE plants up there. And there were 16,000 employees at that time, and they made those diesel locomotives.
Where I'm at now, we're mostly smaller stuff. We make gearboxes where I'm at now. I run a couple lathes and a grinder and a brocher. But other than that, it's mostly small stuff. I can pick most of the stuff up by hand. I got a few pieces that are, 100 pounds that I might need to lift for.
Well, I worked on CNC lathes, and we had this has been a long time ago. This a three-axis Hillier machine tool. And we had a 16-foot boring mill, had four axes, I think. Might just been three. I don't know. It was the newest one. And we married the CNC to it. It was 100 horsepower. But Yeah, our son-in-law works at Usher's machine tool down at on Pelham Road.
ABB, we used to be Valdor, and ABB bought us out back a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, one of our CNCs, I think Alan Bradley, is that what that is?
Bradley, this ABB, we're, it's a Swiss, not Swiss, get the name with what country they're actually from. It's a weird foreign name. It's not for Alan Bradley. I know you're talking about Alan Bradley. They make all kinds of stuff.
All right. I've seen that nomenclature before, though. And I don't remember where, but that's a big company.
People plant. It's right around the corner from GE over off Garland Road. It was Valdor. They just changed their sign back about 2 years ago to ABB. You may have saw it there.
Valdor?
Was, yes.
I used to buy a lot of Valdor motors when I worked at that machine shop. Is that the same company?
Same. We do motors, gearboxes, robots, and all kind of other stuff.
Well, we got a lot in common, Jimmy. Yeah, I bought a lot of their three-phase motors. Plant I worked in was almost exclusively 480 volt three phase. We had some 220 volt three phase, but not a lot.
Plant, yeah, well, most of Greenville land. I work at the Belton plant down the other side, down in Anderson. All we do is gearboxes and stuff there that our motors go on, TR4 GPS.
I can't remember the name of a lot of the gearboxes that we used. We made mostly, when I first went there, mine power equipment for coal mines and large, very, very large stuff, kilns and things of that. I remember one kiln weighed 135 tons. I don't know how long it was. They were 2 inches thick, and each section was 12 feet long, and then we would marry them together with big, huge subarc welders.
Mining industry is one of our big customers, and everybody is really mining, wastewater treatment, all kinds of things. Anybody needs to use large motor and gearbox, we pretty well supply them.
We machined all of Goodyear plant, and their plant was in Topeka, Kansas. I worked in a little town of Pittsburgh, Kansas, and we machined all their tire molds for them and their tread rings and stuff. Some of them tire molds were 24 foot across the back of them and weighed 50,000 pounds per half.
Into work and seeing how stuff's made, big stuff like that, it's still amazing to look at some of the huge stuff out there and imagine how it actually be possibly made inside of a tolerance that we would hold. Still amazes me even after figuring out how to do it.
Stuff, usually the bigger stuff in 2,000 or 3,000s, but then later in life there, I mean, I started out back when the motor generator drives were vacuum tube. We went through all the different types of electronic speed controls over the years. But they were pretty amazing to see the contouring and constant surface speed and all of the different developments over the years that they went through, all the way up through variable frequency drives. Pretty amazing.
One of the shafts I make, it's safety tolerance on, tightest tolerance on this, 8 micron.
Well, I know later in my life, you know, they had machines that had to position within two-tenths of a thousandth, or you didn't get a green light. And That really suck, especially if a guy put the wrong oil in on the whale oil or something, and you'd be trying to find out what was wrong with it electronically, and he put the wrong weight of oil in it. And, you know, when you're dealing with tolerances like that, any little variance just screws it up.
Sometimes it seems like to lean up against the machine, it will change something.
Yeah. And I was the only electrician there that, and technician that read blueprints, and a lot of the machines I'd been to school on, and nobody else had, and it, well, you know where the pressure went. It's in zero TR.
I mean, that's what I started out doing. I was an electrician, mostly industrial and commercial. Nothing, I didn't really get much into, I mean, I actually did industrial, but I didn't do a lot of control work, just ready to fight pull the wire.
Jimmy, I'd rather work on three-phase equipment any day of the week than yeah, single-phase.
For probably 8 years, and honestly, every day hated going to work every single day. I think it was just because they just had me running so much service work. And I finally just got, well, the guy I worked for, he was like a second dad to me, and he had passed away. And then once he passed away, I just never went back to work. Decided I'd figure out something else to do. That's when I got into machining.
I was too dumb to be a machinist. I could run all the machines somewhat, but I even worked on a few robots. But running them and machining with them is two different things. And I just have a very low aptitude mechanically. Even to this day, my wife sitting next to me here, if we do something that has mechanical involvement, generally speaking, I lean on her to make sure I do it right.
Part about being smart, though, is knowing to ask for help when you need it.
Jimmy. And that's the truth. Because, you know, there were times, you know, when one day a guy come to me and he said, the vice president said to bring Mr. Rouse, he can fix anything. Well, that's my last name. And, you know, that's just not the case. I could not fix just anything.
The other way it was at home when my kids were little, every time something would break, they would say, take it to Daddy, he can fix it. And then as they got older and their stuff got more advanced, Daddy couldn't always fix it.
Yeah, like your 3D printing machine or something. We bought one of those for the kids for Christmas. I'm just amazed at what they can make with that silly thing. And I guess all the software is available online. And they make parts for their paintball guns or whatever they call them. And, Star Wars things, you know, and from the movies. And it's just amazing what they can make with those things.
Coming out of GE, they've got a 3D printer that actually printed metal. And they print parts out for their turbines. With a 3D printer.
I saw one in a gun magazine today for $2,100, and you can buy it, and it's legal. And I know the government don't like them, I'm sure, but it'll make a gun, or it will, I guess you can buy an 80% finished frame, you know, for a gun, and then it'll finish off the last 20%. And it looks like one of them 3D printer machines.
I've seen that too. I've got a couple 80% lowers that I'm waiting on a jig to come in so I can use a router to finish out. For the AR-15 lowers. And it's not a 3D printer. It's a it's basically like a little mini mill almost.
Excuse me. Yeah, this one was in the back. It wasn't Guns and Blammo. It was, I think, just Guns Magazine or American Handgunner or something like that. It was on the last page back. I usually read the last page because they got some kind of history about things back there a lot of times. And the government got a bad case of closed quarters when they started selling those things. Because the guns are untraceable. But it's legal as long as you use it for your own self and don't sell it or something. And don't offer to do it for other people and sell them. But you know how that goes. Well, we're about here, Jimmy. Pleasure's all mine. I enjoyed visiting with you. I have to say 73s, and you have a good evening. This is N0TR.
Walk in here to Home Depot. Have a good evening, sir. K-O-4-G-J.